session, and let the record note that it's March the 10th at 1 p.m. On today's agenda, we have four bills, starting off with Senate File 67, Senator Hoffman. Senator Hoffman, welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I come before the committee today to offer Senate File 67. This basically is, we're going to make an adjustment to the law to permit different structures to be hauled down our highways. If you can all imagine, in my district in the beautiful lake country up north, we have a number of watercraft manufacturers and retailers, distributors, and in order to haul a dock or a boat lift or something of that size down the highway, you need a permit, and there's nothing in statute that gives them that option. So I have brought Dale Graff here to speak about this. He's got some personal experience. Also, I think in the audience, somebody from the Department of Transportation is here to speak in favor of it. So if I could turn the mic over to Dale Graff, and he'll tell you maybe the reason why this is coming up now, and it's just a little change to the law, to the permitting process, to allow some business people in our district to be able to conduct business. So if you want to identify yourself.
Mr. Graff, welcome to the committee, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dale Graff. I'm from the Otter Tail County, Underwood area. I manage a store that sells docks and lifts to lake homeowners. And because of the ever-expanding size of particularly boat lifts, we have to get a permit to haul a boat lift and also have to get a permit to, if someone trades in a boat lift, to have it hauled back. So this would just allow us, you know, in our busy time is April, May, June, where we do somewhere around 50 installs and another 40 or 5 removals. It's become very burdensome to get the permits, so we're hoping to get the annual permit.
So right now, under current law, you have to get a separate permit for each one of those operations? Is that what?
Each one of those operations, not only delivering a lift, and we're typically talking about a 10-mile trip, but we do occasionally cross state highways. So not only delivering it, but if we get a trade-in of a boat lift, we have to get a separate permit for bringing it back.
Mr. Chair, and I do have an A1 amendment to add to the bill. I'm going to have the MnDOT testify to the bill. It's kind of a structural change, so we didn't create a new permitting process. It actually will save the department some headache and some work. So I'm going to go ahead and let
Senator Hoffman. We'll have the your amendment distributed to the committee.
Thank you.
Here, and then we can discuss it.
Mr. Chair, could I move that we move forward with the A1 amendment?
Senator DeCryf moves that we adopt the A1 amendment to Senate File 67.
Yes.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Okay, now that we have the bill in the form that you would like, you can proceed with.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to turn it over to the department, MnDOT, now, and if you want to introduce yourself.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Gene Halverson for MnDOT.
Mr. Halverson.
As Dale indicated, every time they moved one of these boat lifts or boat docks, they had to get a single trip permit because there was no provision in state statute to issue them an annual permit. And so what the amendment is about is there already is in statute an annual permit available to move boats. So we felt that boat docks, boat lifts was close enough and that the dimensions would be similar in size so that if we were to put these over into that annual permit, we could adjust our permit fairly easily and for very minimal cost and issue that permit to cover all three of these items, boats, boat docks, and boat lifts. That's all we're doing here. And an annual permit would allow them for $120 to make as many movements as they needed to in a 12-month period.
Just for my information, more than anything, what was a permit costing under current law for you?
$15.
For each move?
Yeah.
Per trip.
Yes. Do you want me to make note of that, or do you have it in your file already?
Any questions on the part of the committee?
Do you have the bill?
Mr. Chair?
I can just give it a page.
Senator Gazelle.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one question. How large or how wide are you typically with these loads?
The boat lifts being the widest item would be either 100. Typically, it's 120 inches for a pontoon boat, or 108 inches for a regular speedboat.
Okay.
Very good. Senator Gazelka.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 67, as amended, be recommended pass and referred to the Committee on Finance, as well as laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill.
Senator Gazelka has moved that Senate File 67 be recommended to pass, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance, as well as laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill. Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Next up is Senate File 368, Senator Senjum. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good to be at this table. I haven't been to this table yet this year, so it's, we'll see how it goes. I've got three of them here. We'll see if I can get three for three.
The rest of the day is Senjum Day and transportation.
All right. Well, Mr. Chair and members, the first bill that we have before us of the three is a bill that I believe the Transportation Committee had heard in previous years. It's about deputy registrars. It's about filing fees. I'll just read it. Increases the filing user fee for motor vehicle transactions by $1.50 for tab renewals and title work. So it's basically a fee increase. Let's just be honest. It's a fee increase going to those that do this work for us, both in the private and public sector across Minnesota, in particular the revisers. I think there's about 175 of, not revisers, I'm sorry, deputy registers, about 175 of those across the state of Minnesota that do sell plates and so on for us. And then, of course, I think nearly every courthouse does in Minnesota as well, but I'm not exactly sure if all 87 of them do. So their expenses have gone up, of course, over the years like everyone else's. And so they're before us today to make their case for a fee increase in this area. And so I'm going to just turn it over to Mr. Hurst first, and Mr. Orth perhaps second, and they can explain the bill in more detail and certainly stand for questions.
Thank you. And Mr. Hurst, welcome to the committee.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, I was reminded. We've got a couple of amendments here, maybe three, and maybe Ms. Brzozowski can help through. Now, I don't know if I have the amendments. Well, the first one, I think, would be the, what I have here is the A110075 amendment.
It is, it's just, I have redone it as an A1.
So I don't know, I guess they're being handled.
Do members have the A11 amendment already in their packet?
Yes.
Okay.
You want to go ahead and move that amendment, Senator?
We'll move that amendment.
Senator Senjum has moved the A11 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
The second amendment, Mr. Chair and members, is one I'm just going to offer orally because we just found out about it a few minutes ago, and that is to delete Section 3 of this bill. So it would be line 312 through 329. And then a third amendment, if we wanted to include it in this one, would be to make some changes on 331. I guess that could probably be done as one amendment. And Ms. Brzozowski maybe can help us with that 331 language.
Mr. Chair and members, it's just conforming the section number to reflect the deletion of Section 3. So it's page 3, line 31, delete 3 and insert 2. And the section numbers will be automatically renumbered. 1 and 2. Thank you. So or 3 should be changed to and 2. Or excuse me, 2. That's more confusing than it should be. Okay. So instead of section 1 to 3, we'll delete that and insert sections 1 and 2.
Sherry, can you understand why I didn't try that?
We'll let the professionals handle it, right? Yeah. So the amendment, the oral amendment by Senator Senjum is to delete lines 3.12 through 3.29 and delete 2.3 on section or on line 3.31, eliminate the words 2.3 and insert and 2. Is that correct? Any discussion on the amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
With that, and thank you, members, and Madam, or Mr. Chair, I'd refer to our witnesses, and they can tell you more about the bill.
Good. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Hurst. You'd state your name for the record.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jim Hurst, and I am here today representing the Minnesota Deputy Registrars Association. First of all, to those returning members to the Transportation Committee, I apologize. I'm going to be sounding like a broken record, but this legislation mirrors in scope similar legislation that nearly was enacted last year, and unfortunately I'm back again before you today to plead my case. Deputy registrars are located across the state, and they are the ones that are charged with the responsibility of doing the state's work of collecting registration and taxes for motor vehicle. They also do DNR transactions as well as driver's license type transactions. The legislation before you today seeks a $1.50 increase in two of those categories, which basically constitutes the vast majority of our transactions at the offices across the state. These offices, there are a couple of misperceptions, common misperceptions. Number one, deputy registrars are not state offices, nor are they staffed with state employees. Rather, they act as agents on behalf of the state. And for all of their services that they do, these filing fees constitute the only source of revenue to keep these offices open and running. These filing fees must cover all of their expenses, including wages, equipment, rent, utilities, everything as if you're running a small private business. The deputy registrar system has 175 offices across the state, which is an appropriate number when one considers you need one at least in every county. So there's 87 right away. Certainly in other counties, such as Senator Reinert's area in St. Louis County, you can't expect everyone in St. Louis County to just come down to Duluth, so we need some geographically in the northern part of that county as well. And then certainly in the metropolitan areas, you need more than just one in Hennepin County and one in Ramsey County, for instance. So over the past few years, deputies have been struggling to make ends meet. They have responded by doing what a lot of businesses and families are doing, that is cutting back where they can. They've cut staff. They've unfortunately cut hours. And regrettably, this impacts customer expectations of being able to come in and do their business in a very fast and effective manner. That being said, the $1.50 represents what we think is suitable to help sustain these offices. The bill before you, as I said, calls for a $1.50 increase in two categories. The rest of the bill pertaining to driver's license, I want to make clear there is no change as far as the impact to the consumer. What we're trying to do is just isolate out our filing fee, which is currently $5, so that it's not confused with the overall chart of what the state expects the person to pay. And it just makes it a lot easier for us. And certainly in the past, when the state has sought and received an increase in the driver's license chart, a lot of times legislators are confused and think that we've received that as an increase. We haven't. We're still at the same filing fee in that category, but we are just seeking this increase in two categories. Yeah. In closing, Mr. Chairman and members, I want to share with you the fact that last month we did a survey of all offices across the state. We had a 74% participation rate in responses on our survey. And the respondents were about 65% public offices and 35% private offices, which actually mirrors what the makeup overall is in the state. Of the public offices that responded, of which 62% were rural and 38% were metro, 37% reported that they reduced staff in the past year alone. 53% reported that they needed a local property tax subsidy from their city council or county board. 65% reported operating at a loss in 2010. And they also reported that without a fee increase, 72% expected to be operating at a loss by the end of this year without some support. On the private office side, the numbers were almost identical. 38% reported reducing staff in the past year compared to 37% in the public sector. 56% of private offices reported taking a reduction in their own personal salary to make ends meet because these offices can't go to a city council or a county board to help them out. Their choices are pretty limited, and that just means they're working at a much lower salary than they should be. And furthermore, without a fee increase, 62% of all private respondents said that they forecast a deficit this year as well. Members, I will close with that and urge your support for this and certainly stand for questions if you have them at this time.
Senator Gazalka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hurst, I have three quick questions. Did any of the $1.75 DVS technology surcharge, did any of that go to the local register offices?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Gazalka, thank you for bringing that question up. No, not one bit of the $1.75 tech fee is kept with our offices. All of that goes to the state.
Follow up.
Senator Gazalka.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Hurst, the $1.50 increase that you're proposing, does all of that go to the local deputy registrars?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Gazalka, all of that would stay with the local deputy. The only exception would be if the individual chose to go directly to the state to conduct their business, in which case then the state would capture that that portion.
Okay. Senator Hall?
Mr. Chair, I've got a question on the math here. I'm looking at the number of transactions, approximately 4,969,000 transactions annually. And I guess I'm wondering what percentage of those are going to be the $1.50 revenue that the deputy registers are going to receive, and how many of those are going to be the $5, or if that's all included in there, because my assumption is that all of it's included in there. And if it is, if you take that number times 1.5 or the dollar fifty cents, that's where you come up with the 7,453,000. But then I'm wondering, where's the $5 transactions at? And I'm not seeing that here.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman and Senator Howe, a very good question. My data from the state separates out driver's license transactions from other motor vehicle transactions.
Okay.
The number that I believe the fiscal summary refers to is an accurate number, which is the total of both title transactions and renewals. For instance, and unfortunately, I don't have the breakdown on titles versus renewals. I can get that for you, but just for your information, the data from last year was 4,966,000 motor vehicle transactions at deputy registrar offices, 1,142,000 transactions were for driver's license, and that 1,142,000 is above and beyond the 4.9 million transactions for other motor vehicle.
Senator Hall?
So the number that the actual deputy registers would receive, Mr. Chair, would be that it'd be the 7.4 million plus you'd take the 1,140,000 times $5 in. Would that be correct?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Howell, that is correct. And again, the driver's license is, we're assuming that number stays the same. These numbers are relatively stable year after year, but that is correct.
Senator Howell?
Mr. Chair, then the total increased compensation or the total additional funds available to deputy registers would be what then?
Mr. Hirsch?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Howe, with this legislation, the increase to the entire universe of deputy registrars would be the roughly $7.5 million.
Senator Howe?
I see.
I'm just wondering how that math adds up then, because you just said, Mr. Chair, that you had 4,969,000 transactions at $1.50. That gets you to the 7.4 million. Mm-hmm. And now you just told me up and beyond that, there's going to be 1,140,000.
Huh?
They already get that.
No, we're changing this. You're going to reduce it by $5.
Senator Howe, I think we'll have Ms. Boyd clarify that, but
okay.
Yeah, that is just breaking that out of that actual fee. They're breaking out the $5 so that it's distinguishable. That's the only thing they're doing in that section. But we'll have Ms. Boyd clarify that.
Mr. Chair and Senator Howe, right. Yeah, the fiscal note assesses the $1.50 increase in the filing fee for deputy registrars, and that $7.453 million amount is the increased amount that they will get. The fee, the filing fee for driver's license agents, which is also referenced in the bill, is just a split out showing that the $5 filing fee, which is now sort of folded into the base fee for a driver's license, will be split out in the statute, but there's no increase to the deputy registrars or the state for that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hall.
Thank you for making that perfectly clear.
All of that extra on the in the bill did add some confusion, and thank you for clarifying that, Ms. Boyd. And you would like to proceed, Senator Sandrum?
Well, in addition, I have Mr. Jeff Orth
Orth. Jeff is from Rochester, and he does have a deputy register facility, and maybe Jeff wants to make some comments.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Orth.
Yes. Jeff Orth from Rochester, Minnesota, deputy registrar. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity to come here today. I think our Mr. Hurst very eloquently provided an overview of the current scenario for the deputy registrars. As an organization, we provide diligent service to the citizens of the state of Minnesota. We oftentimes are the individuals who have an opportunity to meet with the general public and certainly try to make that a positive experience on behalf of the state so that people feel that they're getting a value for their dollar in kind of a true Minnesota perspective. And we just want to continue to provide the needs for the state citizens and do so in a positive, upbeat manner. So, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to testify either for or in opposition to the legislation? Senator Dibble.
I see Ms. McCormick is not running to the table.
No. Not leaping.
But I'm, you know, I don't want to drag her into something she doesn't want to be dragged into, but I trust her counsel and judgment tremendously. So just, you know, maybe she might want to just help us understand a little better what this is. You don't have to characterize it as good or bad. Then I had a question for Mr. Hurst.
Ms. McCormick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Pat McCormick, the Director of Driver and Vehicle Services. And while the department isn't taking an official position on this bill, we certainly want to underscore the value that the deputy registrars and driver license agents provide and work as partners with us in ensuring that our customers have services locally. Especially, they are the face of DVS and the state. They work as our agents for motor vehicle transactions and also do limited driver license services as well. And so we work very closely together. We meet every other month to discuss issues. We send out bi-monthly publications with them. They have been working with us on MNLARS in terms of our as-is to be documents, and we expect to have them at the table as we're designing our system and implementing it. And so they certainly provide a valuable service to the state.
Mr.
Senator Dibble?
Thanks. If I could ask a direct question of Ms. McCormick. Mr. Chair, Ms. McCormick. The separation of the $5 fee, you know, that's authorized in 171.061 sub 4, does that provision in the bill make it easier for the agency to kind of segregate and identify and administer those dollars?
Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, I don't think it makes it any easy. I think we have it programmed as such, and the DL agents, when they report to us, they separate the fee, the filing fee that they keep versus the driver's license transaction. So I don't think that we believe it causes any interruption in our service or additional changes. It is just... as long as I've been with DVS, that the $5 was just incorporated as part of the fee, and that's how it's always been before. So I assume we'll have to do a little outreach to customers, but it isn't anything that we oppose.
Senator Dibble, follow up.
And if I could ask the same question of Mr. Hurst, because I didn't really quite understand why we're doing that when you mentioned that subject. Can you help me understand a little better why this is an important part of the bill, the calling out of the $5 separately in statutory language?
Certainly. Mr. Chairman and Senator Dibble, it's certainly a housekeeping provision Certainly, the real crux of the bill is the $1.50 increase in those two particular categories. But for consistency, so that we can point to this is our fee, this is the state's portion, I think from a customer service standpoint, that's important. And again, in the future, when should the state decide to modify it on their end, it's clear it's on their end. And like I said, there has been confusion in the past that when the state does succeed in getting an increase in that category, the assumption is that we're getting that and we're not. So it's mainly for clarification purposes.
Senator Hall?
Mr. Chair, I think maybe Mr. Hurst has already testified to this, but maybe Ms. McCormick, could you just verify for the committee members when the last time the deputy registrars received an increase?
Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and Senator Howe, I can't even remember when that was. I was thinking that it might have been in 2003 or 2004, but I'd have to look it up and verify with you in terms of the motor vehicle side. So it may have been 2005. So I'll get back to you on that. I can't remember unless Ms. Berezovsky knows when it was.
Mr. Hurst, do you have a response to that?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Howe and committee members, I think that kind of underscores why we're in such a dire need for a fee increase, is we can't remember when the last time was we got one. But for the record, in 2005, okay, there was a $1.50 increase on just titles. Okay. And in 2001, there was a single dollar increase for the tab renewals. And that's been it. And prior to that, it was, I think, 1989. So we tend to go a bit long on seeking these fee increases. But again, this, if one were to look in a dictionary and look up the word user fee, I mean, definition number one would be the deputy registrar user fee, because it stays right with the office. It pays for every expense, and we are not a budget item with the state of Minnesota. We never have been. So everything that is required of an office to be functioning comes out of this filing fee, which is a user fee. Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Cruz?
Chairman, Mr. Hurst, just a real quick question. You know, you spoke a lot about how some of these are subsidized right now by municipalities or counties. With this potential increase, is there a chance that we could see a easing up potentially of the tax burden of our citizens because we would give them this increase?
Mr. Hurst? Mr. Chairman and Senator Cruz, there would be a direct correlation because, again, this fee increase goes to that office. That will greatly help them with their budget, and as a result, the need for them to go to their city council or county boards will be diminished greatly. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just, you know, and I guess I would like to follow up by saying, you know, thank you for the work that you're doing. I think this is an area of government where we're leading in the right direction. Here we have an area of government where we're working towards privatizing some of these things. We're doing it successfully, and I truly believe that historically you've shown you can do that within a limited budget, and I would just like to go on record as saying that we appreciate that as Minnesota taxpayers, and we hope that if this were to pass, you would continue to do that work.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senator Cruz. I very much appreciate your comments, and yes, I look forward to continuing my service with the deputies because they are a fantastic group to represent. I'm very proud of them. Thank you.
If you want to. Oh, I don't care. Either one.
Senator Sengel?
Mr. Chair and members, in Senator Cruz's question, we probably got a more direct answer here that can be given to that.
Mr. Chairman, members, Kirk Peterson, Rice, Michaels, and Walther, I represent Hennepin County on this issue. Just to give you Hennepin County's perspective, The county subsidizes its service centers, in which our deputy registrar's offices are located, to the tune of about $2 million a year. So that's amount that we levy back to keep these service centers operating and to keep our deputy registrar's offices going. So anything that we can do to increase these user fees will help us offset levy increases in the future.
Good.
And I have Hennepin County staff here if you need more specific details on the numbers.
Okay. Thank you. Unless we have a request for more information, I think we'll just let it be at that. I think we all understand that the counties and the cities have been either offsetting some rent for buildings that the registrars might be in or subsidizing in one fashion or another for quite some time. And so appreciate that. Senator Sundstrom, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chair and members, I'll try this one, and then we'll see how this goes. It's sort of a dual motion. I would move the Senate file 368 be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Finance, as well as laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill.
Okay. Senator Sundstrom has moved that Senate File 368, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance and laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next bill is Senate File 516. This isn't a license plate bill, is it? Just kidding. Senator Sundstrom.
Mr. Chair and members, guess what? A driver's license bill. And, you know, another good and worthy cause. This one being the American Red Cross, who we all know does great work, and certainly in many areas. The objective of this bill is not only to recognize the American Red Cross, but also to dedicate some portion of the proceeds associated with this license plate into their disaster preparedness and relief account. And so that is the cause. And obviously the American Red Cross is something that all of us know of. I'm not sure. I think everything else is boilerplate. I would offer, Mr. Chair, on subdivision 5, lines 21 to 25, we may need some work there in terms of some language issues, and we may not. We'll find out from the department on that, but that has to do with how the allocations would be distributed. And I want to get some sense here as we go forward in the hearing what the department feels about that. I think I've heard both sides, so that may need some work. We can make that work today. That would be fine. If not, we'll have to try to fix it up as it hopefully moves through the process.
Well, Senator Sundstrom, we have an A1 amendment to start with here, if you would like to move forward with that.
Yes, Madam or Mr. Chair, I would offer the A1 amendment, I'm trying to find my notes here. Help me with the A1 amendment, Madam Counsel. I don't have a copy.
Ms. Berezovsky.
Mr. Chair and Senators, the A1 amendment, line 1.2, just corrects a cross-reference, and 1.3 changes the effective date in line with what the department has been asking for new special plates.
And then on the verbal or the oral amendment of Senator Sundstrom on the account. Rozovsky, do you have a suggestion?
Mr. Chair and members, my suggestion is on 2.4, delete a grant and insert distribution.
Senator Central, is that Sondra, we can incorporate.
If we could move those, Mr. Chair, why we'll have the bill in order.
Okay, Senator Sundrum has moved the A1 amendment as amended. Is that right? Okay. A1 amendment as amended. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair and members, I have with me representing the American Red Cross, Mr. Vic Moore. Vic, I don't know if you want to speak. If not, Jeff Kaufman has some testimony for the committee. Okay. Mr. Kaufman?
Thank you very much, Mr.
Kaufman,
Chairman.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, my name is Jeff Kaufman. I'm the regional CEO for the American Red Cross Mid-America Blood Services Division. There are two parts of the Red Cross, blood services and disaster services. And thanks for the opportunity to speak to you today regarding the special motor vehicles license plates bill that would benefit us. And thank you, Senator Hengem, for introducing the bill, and thank you all for hearing it today. The Red Cross was founded in 1863 as a nonpartisan organization that provides care to wounded and sick during times of war. At the first international conference of the Red Cross movement, the Red Cross emblem, that Red Cross that you all know, and one of the most recognized symbols in the world, was adopted as a symbol of neutrality and was to be used by national relief societies such as the American Red Cross. And Claire Barton established the Red Cross here in America in 1881, and since then has provided dedicated services provided by volunteers and the financial support that everyday citizens can give so that we can help the most vulnerable in our communities, including all those disasters that that you see. We have a congressional mandate to respond to times of disaster, and yet the Red Cross is not a governmental agency, nor does it receive government funding. So to fulfill the mission, we depend upon the generosity of regular people like all of us to shelter, feed, and care for disaster victims, to teach life-saving skills, to connect military members and their families during emergencies, and to supply nearly half the nation's blood, and obviously to provide humanitarian aid worldwide. This past year, when communities across our state focused or faced unforeseen adversity such as fires, floods, tornadoes, et cetera, they turned to the American Red Cross for help. And you probably can't watch the 10 o'clock news without seeing our response to families who've lost everything in a fire. This bill would support the Red Cross disaster relief and help to ensure that the Red Cross is ready to respond to any of these disasters, supplying meals, opening shelters, distributing cleanup supplies, et cetera. And as America's leading emergency response organization, the Red Cross will continue to adapt and evolve to meet new disaster challenges. Last year, we made a number of improvements in how we deliver services by reducing costs and providing better client and volunteer experiences. But unfortunately, the current economic climate only intensifies the effects of disasters on individuals and families who are increasingly faced with either tighter budgets or, worse, the loss of jobs. This incredible resiliency of this state and the nation and the generosity of the American people have enabled the Red Cross to continue to help those in need. And this special motor vehicles license plates bill, Senate File 516, if signed into law, would help us to continue to provide help and hope to families and communities in crises here and around the world. Three other states have already enacted this type of legislation, including Florida, Montana, and Ohio. And those states have, through this effort, have contributed up to $60,000 for Red Cross disaster relief. In an average year, the Red Cross spends about $450 million on disaster relief throughout the U.S. and many more millions here in Minnesota. So every dollar is contributed, contributed counts. Last year, Minnesota topped the nation in tornado touchdowns, and major flooding happened not once but twice within the state. Every day, people need blood, life-saving training, and disaster relief, and every day, military families need family communication support during emergencies. The Red Cross fills a vital and unique role in the state and in our nation. Minnesota and America need a thriving Red Cross. Every opportunity to raise funds helps, and so we ask for committee support of this bill. Thank you very much. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've already forgot your last name. It must be my. But a question, Subdivision 5, the contributions. How are they dispersed? Is it a one-time a year, any of the funds through the public?
That would really be up to how the state would like to do that. Obviously, we have ongoing needs, and those needs are funded by ongoing fund development. So it really depends on how the state would like to do that.
Any idea? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any idea what kind of funds you believe you might be able to generate for your cause? Or,
well, Senator Perry, members of the committee, I think that there are three other states that do this now, and of course Minnesota, being its having its wonderful generosity of its population, I'm sure we could surpass that of the other states. And the other states have around $60,000 a year.
Any other questions? Anybody from the audience like to testify either for or in opposition to the bill? Senator Sandra.
Okay. If not, then, Mr. Chair, if this is of your pleasure, I would move that Senate file 056 or 516, rather, than be recommended to pass. Do we re-refer these to Finance Committee? That will be my motion, and lay them over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Transportation Bill. Has that been the format of the other plates?
Senator Senjum, those with a fiscal impact will be sent to Finance, and not from there they'll go to the Senate floor.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, I would move then that Senate File 516 be recommended to pass and re-referred to Finance.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, we didn't put any amendments on this bill, did we?
We did. So you have to have it as amended. Okay, Senator Senjum has moved that Senate File 516, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Senator Senjum, Senate File 188.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate File 188 is an authorization to memorialize, if you will, a pedestrian bike trail type bridge. And I know, do you have the, Mr. Chair and members, do you have pictures of that?
Yes.
Okay. The pedestrian bike trail type bridge very much immediately west of Rochester, going over Highway 14. And this, by the way, is a request from both the Rochester City Council and certainly other members of our community. But this is to name that bridge after a young child, 7 years old, killed in a bike accident very much near this location in 2006. Ariana McNamara. She was out one evening with her mother, dad, a couple of brothers, and actually crossing a county road at a crosswalk somewhat near a elementary school in northwest Rochester. And while two lanes of traffic had stopped for them, a driver in a third lane did not and hit her and killed her. So To memorialize her in the memory of our community. This is an action which has unfolded as this new bike bridge was built and erected and put into place, and that is to name this bridge after Ariana. And so this would be a request to do that, and that funding for the signage and so on would have to certainly be in place and approved by Department of Transportation before all this took place. So And even specifically to that, apparently this bridge is not the type of bridge that is thought to be able to withstand even the wind. It's kind of amazing, even the wind potential that might come from placing a sign on the bridge. So the sign is suggested to go into the location of the highway median and be there for motorists to observe as they're passing under it. So that's the essence of this bill. To remember a young lady that unfortunately was struck and killed in a motor vehicle accident.
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Sengel, I had no issues with the bill. It's always, you know, heart-rending when we have to do these things, especially to remember the loss of such a young child. My question is, as I was looking through the briefing materials, well, the funds for the signage when an appropriate place is designated be privately raised. It sort of said that and then sort of didn't say that.
Chair and Senator Reinhart, that would certainly be the intent. Whether or not the city of Rochester would possibly match funds or something like that, I can't say right now, but certainly I guess those decisions would be made back home. And if there were any government money in it, it would be up to that local council, I guess.
Mr. Chair, Senator Reinhart? To follow up to clarify, it's going to be local.
Well, yes. Yeah, there is no state money involved in this.
Thank you.
And more than likely, Mr. Chair, this is probably going to be private money. I mean, this little girl left a memory, and so to gain support for this kind of thing, I don't think it's going to be difficult. Yes?
My name's Cassandra Isaacs, and I'm with MnDOT.
Oh, okay.
I might be able to help you with that question.
Sure.
This right here is non-state sources.
Okay.
Senator Sengel?
Mr. Chair, we have a staff member from MnDOT here, and actually she can clarify that. I read it last night myself. I guess I could have, but I'll let her do that.
Okay. Welcome to the committee, if you would identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Cassandra Isaacson. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. And to answer the senator's question, in the bill it refers you to Section 161.139. And that is the part of Minnesota statute that requires that funding for these signs in perpetuity, so not just the initial installation, but any maintenance that has to take place, comes from non-state sources.
Senator Sengel, I've been made aware of an A1 delete all amendment to this bill. We haven't been working off exactly the language that you want.
Mr. Chair, maybe while we sort that out, just as a follow-up, we had a section of the Miller-Trunk Highway in Duluth that was dedicated to Vice President Walter Mondale, and we ran into those issues just on raising the dollars locally to get the signs put up and then the maintenance of perpetuity. So I appreciate the reference to the section because as a counselor I didn't understand what the background on that was, so it's helpful now as a legislator to know. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Thank you. I have a question for the department. In some other instances, and I've been on bills to designate and put up signs along highways where a tragic accident has occurred or where the family of a police officer, state patrol officer, who was killed, lived in my district. And the department raised issues about putting up signs along the highways that were memorials as increasing the likelihood of drivers being distracted. And the same issue was raised with a proposed monument, or not monument, but memorial marker for Herb Brooks when he was killed, as you know, driving along Highway 35, fell asleep at the wheel. And I wonder,
if the department's position has changed, or would they design a plaque or something that would not, or do you go out of your way to make sure that as the memorial is being put in place that it does not cause a distraction for drivers?
Ms. Isaacson?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, the department is in general, we try to follow as closely as possible standards that come to us from the Federal Highway Administration. And those standards are all encompassed in the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices. That document, which establishes standards for signing, pavement markings, traffic signals, goes through the federal rulemaking process. And within that, it doesn't prohibit the installation of signing, and I have an example of what the sign for the bridge would be. It doesn't prohibit, but it certainly discourages that type of signing, encouraging it to be more in rest areas, parks, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we try very hard to balance the interest of the locals that want to memorialize tragic incidents like this with those standards. Of particular concern to the department is when the memorial would be on an interstate. And those are the ones that we usually are very actively engaged with because of the higher speeds, higher traffic volumes, more potential for distraction. And on the interstate system, the Federal Highway Administration does have full oversight on what we do with our signing and that sort of thing. And so it's just a little bit more difficult for us when we're dealing with interstate highways than with state or U.S. highways.
And so, Mr. Chairman, and I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Mr. Chairman, Senator S. Cassandra Isaacson.
Ms. Isaacson. So the this proposal could be carried out safely, you believe. This signage could be carried out safely, not only as we wouldn't want a driver distracted and another accident occur in memorializing this young, this darling young girl.
Ms. Isaacson?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I believe that it can be carried out safely. That being said, there is a tremendous number of memorial highways currently in the state, some of them overlapping, and so we always try to advise authors of bills and the committee on that issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dibble?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering, in this, just following on to Senator Rest's question, in this particular instance, Senator Senchum, this is a pedestrian and bike bridge, though, isn't it? Would
yes.
the signs be visible to the motorized traveling public, or is it just bikers and pedestrians?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, I don't know if you have that picture or not, but it would be very, very. Highway 14 travels under it, so it's extremely visible to the traveling public.
But Mr.
Senator Dibble?
Chair, thank you. Yeah, I was wondering where the sign was going to be.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, I've got a note here from an Eric Rundine. I don't know if he's here or not, but it goes to read, so we have agreed to put the signs in the median of the highway instead of the bridge. Okay. So if you look at that sign, I'd suspect it would go probably in front of that reinforcing beam, I think, which is in the median.
So it's not going on either end of the bridge, Mr. Chair, for the bikers themselves to figure
right.
out
no.
who the bridge is named after, but the folks driving by.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Senator Lilly.
Mr. Chair, and actually I'm following up on Senator Dibble and Senator Rest. Again, my question, mm-hmm. Senator Senjum, is the intent to identify the bridge and memorialize it for those on the bridge or on the highway? And it would seem to me that it would have the same benefit to the family and to those who remember if it were on the accesses to the bridge, that those who are crossing on the bridge would benefit from the tragic situation and would not interfere with the traffic on the highway, but that would just seem to be my look at this. It seems to me that you could accomplish what we're trying to without impacting the highway, but I'm very open to whatever is stated.
Senator Sanchez.
Mr. Chair and Senator Lilly, actually the city of Rochester has, who does have then property rights on each side of the bridge, but not in the median. They have erected signage for to recognize this bridge in the name of Ariana as you enter it on each side. But this is for the benefit of the traveling public, automobile traveling public. So that is covered in terms of recognition of the bridge for bikers.
Senator Sundrum, do you want to move the A1 delete all amendment?
Yeah, and Mr. Chair and members, the A1 amendment, a delete all, is I would move that. First of all, well, maybe I'll explain it, and it's simply to delete the words on the bridge on the original amendment, simply to delete those words on line 110.
Senator Rust, did you get a copy of the...
I have it now. Yes, I have it. I just didn't recognize it.
Mr. Chair, and the purpose of this amendment per MnDOT is even a bridge like this may not be able to sustain wind forces that would come if we were to place the sign actually on the structure of the bridge.
Very good. Senator Sundrum moves the A1 amendment to Senate File 188. Although any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Senator Sundrum, would you like to move your bill?
So, Mr. Chair and members, I would move that Senate File 188 be recommended to pass and referred to perhaps the floor, to the consent agenda. Is it more than that, you think?
There's no fiscal.
No.
It has to be as amended, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, as amended? Or to general orders.
Yours to make, Senator Sanjum. That's what you would like to do with it. It's up to you.
Mr. Chair, that would be my motion. I don't believe this is terribly controversial.
I don't.
Senator Rust?
I think that it should be to the consent calendar. I don't think we'd have any objection to that.
Senator Sanjum?
That
you'd like to move it to the consent calendar?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Sanjum moves that Senate File 188 be recommended to pass and sent to the consent calendar on the Senate floor. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. There being no additional business before the committee,
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Perry.
just a comment here. I know I'll be bringing a bill up. We didn't today, but when we're looking at this memorializing, I found it interesting because I did have a talk with Ms. Isaacson, and they make a very, very good point because the one that I know will be coming up in my district happened along I-35. And I think transportation makes a great point. We have beautiful rest stops. And what a way to be able to memorialize people where the families and friends can actually go to and stop and see the signage and everything. I think that is just a great idea. And I just wanted to pass that along because I know there's a few more going to be coming before your committee, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you for that. Committee stands adjourned.